The Plain Talking Podcast with Geffen Russell Jones.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Plain Talking. We learned about the humanitarian crisis facing the people of Myanmar following the recent earthquake and how Christians are faring under this oppressive regime. And Brother David Jardine will conclude with a seasonal epilogue. Ruth Thomas, not her real name, works with Open Doors in Myanmar, and she told me about the difficulties facing the people of that nation. For security reasons, we have altered Ruth's voice.
Yeah, I think the earthquake has been devastating for many families, not just Christians, but all of the people in Myanmar, especially the ones residing in the earthquake zone. And Christians, of course, we are mostly in contact with Christians. So as per our local sources and partners, more than 2,500 Christian families and over 60 churches have been affected. So this is just an estimate for now, but our partners out in the field are still there trying to reach more families and trying to, you know, find out the level of damage and also to reach them with aid and also to reach them with prayers and presents. So you see that most of the earthquake affected areas, the Mandalay region, Sagay, Magway, Bago, Napital, and northeastern parts of Shan states were badly damaged by the earthquake. And many homes have sustained cracks, and a lot of families are also out there in the streets because especially the ones who've had concrete houses, they have been ordered by the local authorities not to go back to their homes because of the dangers of the structures collapsing. So they're, you know, but there are no alternatives for them. So there, many families are also out in the streets trying to make do with whatever they can find. But families that had, you know, wooden houses, they're able to rebuild a bit of it and trying to make do in this situation. So there's still many families also sheltering in churches or finding shelter here and there. And right now, we also had rains in some areas. So the situation is really something that is an emergency. They really need aid and help and prayers. And also, we have many partners whom we have spoken to recently, and they've talked about how they can smell the stench of decaying bodies, and it's become really sickening and difficult to bear for them. It's very difficult for the people to reach relief also because of the constant airstrikes. And, you know, there have been recent reports of the bombings that have happened in the Chin area and the Sagaing division, where more than 20 civilians were killed. So this is also very frightening and also very, very shocking that the bombings would just continue in a situation like this, you know, when it's supposed to be that, you know, the aid, we need to focus on the aid, but the bombings are going on. And during the recent bombings, it was reported that a church was also bombed and a pastor was also killed. So it's really, situation is, I would say, it needs a lot of prayers and a lot of aid is still to reach many people.
Most of us listening to this podcast would never have lived through an earthquake. It must be terrifying to be present when the earth literally splits open and buildings collapse and people die. It must be a terrible thing.
Yes. We were able to talk to this lady who was pregnant, and she talks about how she was so traumatized by this, and she became sick after that. And, you know, there were no medical facilities available that could actually, you know, give her checkups and, you know, confirm if the baby is still well. But thankfully, you know, we also prayed for her, and later on we came to know that she was okay and the baby was also okay. But this is just a small example of, you know, how the earthquake traumatized many people. Not just physically, of course, many people were killed and injured, but even the people who weren't injured, their houses were demolished. And even for people like who just experienced it happening, It was very, very traumatic. And our partners out in the field reported about how difficult they feel because there are about 100 aftershocks after the earthquake. And some aftershocks are really strong. So there's always a danger of more casualties. And it's also very difficult for the people who are reaching aid to these areas to continue doing so. And it's a very big thing, passion or calling that people are still working hard to reach the affected people in the areas.
Is the aid getting through, do you think? Or enough aid?
The first aid reached the country after 18 hours. However, even after like 2 weeks or even more after the earthquake, we are in contact with so many Christian families who haven't received aid, or, they're still living out in open because there are no options. It's rained, a lot of heavy rains took place also. And in the coming days, it's going to be rainy season, no? In about a few months' time. So they really are afraid of what waterborne diseases might come out, or, you know, they don't even have a shelter over their heads. So until now, we feel that the aid actually is not reaching many remote areas. We have heard many reports of aids being blocked. We cannot comment directly on that. But yeah, I can say that we are in contact with so many people who have not received aid even until like 2 weeks after the earthquake. Other than that, I'd just like to add that there are airstrikes happening. Right? So it's like, I can't imagine how that can happen. So considering all of that, if we can see that the concentration of the help has not reached a good chunk of people, especially when we are out in the field and we hear that the aid has not reached them.
Several weeks after the earthquake, some aid is getting through, but not enough. By the sounds of the things, people are suffering. There are buildings torn down. There's still a smell of decaying bodies. Life must be very, very hard for people at the moment.
Yes, life is very hard for people. If we talk about Christians, they're already known to be very discriminated also. So I feel that they are also the ones who are suffering a lot because they've suffered discrimination in many areas of their lives. Also because Christianity is regarded as a foreign religion. So I think minorities are also suffering a lot, but especially the people in the earthquake zones, earthquake affected areas, they're, of course, they are affected a lot.
So what are the challenges as you look to the future now, Ruth? The challenges in the aftermath of the earthquake, but maybe the wider challenges of just being a Christian in Myanmar must be hard anyway. And I wonder what hopes you have as we look to the future.
Yes, we feel that it's going to be a very long, long process of recovery. It's going to take time because of what all the airstrikes, the earthquake, everything has contributed to the destruction, to the demolition of buildings, everything that, you know, that has been worked on is now, a lot of it is now destroyed completely. However, the churches, they are still quite strong in the faith. And somehow, mysteriously, all of these difficulties also contribute to the faith. But we keep hearing a lot of testimonies from pastors who talk about how God saved them in this earthquake. You know, we recently heard a testimony about how 40 kids were gathered in a church, and usually they stay in that church for a longer period. Maybe you can talk about like 20 to 30 children. So they were in this church and they usually stay longer. However, that particular day of the earthquake, they left early for some reason. And then when the earthquake happened, they weren't in that building, which was destroyed because of the earthquake. So God saved them. And there are numerous other testimonies that have come up during this time where we hear about how God is faithful to his people. And we also, hear testimonies of pastor who want to stay in their areas and keep serving other people and keep serving people in need, though they have, you know, option to go elsewhere and start afresh. So we see how sacrificing people, believers can be in this. So it's a good experience also in that regards that this these difficulties have strengthened faith of many believers who want to serve as salt and light in this community, even when, you know, they see destruction and hopelessness everywhere. We see that they want the Lord to utilize them even in this situation.
I wonder, Ruth, whether you could just speak a bit more generally about maybe the size of the Christian community in Myanmar, because this may be new to many of our listeners.
The number of Christians is low in many parts of Myanmar, but it's also quite distributed throughout Myanmar. There are certain states which have very high Christian population, but especially these states have been experiencing a lot of military bombing attacks. So after the coup, so these areas which are inhabited by Christians majorly have often been the targets. Along with, of course, the other states. But of course, these areas have been some of the areas like Chin, these areas have been some, usual targets. So, and these Christian communities are also very economically lower or downtrodden, you can say, haven't received a lot of support or development. So already living amongst all of this situation, it's very hard. Apart from this, they face discrimination, of course, because Christianity is regarded as a foreign religion. And Christians being involved in talking about Jesus and faith often, they suffer discrimination or some kind of opposition from the communities often. So when they're quite vocal about the faith, they do suffer something. So, you know, Christians, they always like to talk about what the Lord has done for them. So when they like to, you know, practice their faith, they always experience opposition. So amidst all of these factors, there's so much squeeze for the Christians. And of course, the earthquake has contributed to this as well. But, you also see the faith of the people in Myanmar. It's very, it's unbelievable at times how they want to live out their faith and be in the country and serve the Lord.
And finally, Brother David Jardine reflects on the deep meaning of Easter.
For over 30 years, St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast was the focal point for divine healing ministries. This was an interdenominational healing ministry that I worked for until the end of 2017. We began with our first Monday evening healing service there on the 1st of February 1993. And apart from a few weeks off each July, we carried on until COVID interrupted proceedings in March 2020. Now, for some time, we have been holding our services in a church in East Belfast. And I'm glad to say that although I am no longer in charge, the ministry is going strong. During those years in St. Anne's Cathedral, we had some marvelous experiences. Often with well-known visiting speakers, the cathedral would be packed. One of those occasions was in 2016, when four members of the Ulster rugby team talked about their faith. One of the speakers was Ruan Pienaar, who had played 80 times for South Africa and was a World Cup winner with his country in 2007. I found him to be a most humble man, very easy to approach. Every time he went out to play for Ulster, he very quietly went down on one knee to pray. He said that night in St. Anne's Cathedral that rugby was never an end in itself. It was only a platform on which to share his Christian faith. But although the players' testimonies were great, maybe the best of all was that of Shane Logan, chief executive of Ulster Rugby. Shane was in his late 20s when he had a serious fall and almost lost his leg. He would say today that God did a miracle and through prayer saved his leg. The interviewer asked him what advice he would give to anyone in the congregation that evening who wanted to live the Christian life. Shane gave an interesting answer. He said, "Get over yourself." In other words, stop putting yourself in the forefront all the time. Stop being self-centered and wanting everything to revolve around you. Instead of being at the center of everything yourself, put Jesus at the center in everything. John Wesley, commonly referred to as the founder of Methodism, said something similar. Every year he preached to tens of thousands of people, most of them in the open air. Thousands were converted at his rallies. Somebody asked him one time, what was the secret of his success? He simply said, "I died." He didn't mean that he literally died. He meant that he died to self. What before he had done for himself, he now did for Jesus. He put Jesus at the center of his whole life. I'm making these references because at this season we are thinking about Easter, about Jesus dying, rising from the dead, and being alive forevermore. And the claim is always made that if we die with Jesus, we shall also come alive with him. I agree with that completely. But we do need to die with him. In other words, put him first in everything. Focus more on other people than on ourselves. Try to share the love of Jesus with others. Make it our aim to glorify Jesus in everything we do. This, of course, will at times be inconvenient and will often require self-sacrifice. But if we are prepared to make that sacrifice and make this a way of life, we will find God's peace and experience a quality of life that we have never had before.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. The next podcast will drop soon, so watch out for it. Plain Talking is sponsored by The Plain Truth, a magazine of understanding. For more information, please visit plain-truth.org.uk. That's it for now. So from all of us at Plain Talking, we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.